O magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Tuesday, it's September 1st, 2015, and for those of you that were tuned in for yesterday's edition of Mark and Friends, the Monday edition, you heard from my good friend Karen and some of her story and how God used radio broadcasts and Christian friends and God's Word to touch her life and bring her into a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, she mentioned yesterday she has some friends, and these friends began because of a woman that was discipling her for many years and even is sharing with her to this very day. Well, her daughter became a friend of Karen. So I asked you back for today, the Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends, to introduce these friends. And we already know there's so many stories to your ministry work and the hospital that you serve at for women and children in Mali that I don't think we're going to even be able to give more than a thumbnail sketch of some of the story, how God has called both of you out of the medical profession. Well, you're still in the medical profession, but putting it to the side to serve in this unique way. So we'll have Karen introduce you to our radio listening family, and maybe you can share a little of a special verse that I'm going to read and how God called you into this ministry and how our listeners can participate in that. So let me begin with a verse, Karen, and then introduce these friends, and then we'll run with wherever the Lord leads us. But this verse is out of Psalm 4, verse 8, and it says, "I will lie down and sleep in peace, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety."
Yes, it's a great privilege to have Heather and Steve here. The listeners are in for a real treat. I've known them for a while now over long distance, and I'm really appreciative of how they left everything to go to Mali and reach out with the gospel and help the most needy in this world. And I think it'll be a great blessing for the listening family to see God's hand on their lives.
Now, Steve, as we walked along the trail, I was asking, was it easy to move forward in this ministry endeavor where God was leading? And you said, well, Mark, there was coups, there was violence, there were setbacks, there was learning a couple different languages. So becoming a missionary, is it easy going?
No. On a good day, you can delude yourself, I think, but most days are tough.
What made it tough? And maybe give us a little background on how you got to be where you're at serving in Mali. Right now you're sharing with some of your supporters and you're in our area to raise awareness of this unique work that's going on where you both serve, you and your wife Heather, in a hospital. But to get to this point, both had 10 years in a practice in Ohio serving as an emergency physician and I think pediatrics.
Yeah, I'm a pediatrician and I did some extra training in pediatric emergency medicine.
So how does God take two professionals, two doctors,
kicking and screaming?
It encourages them, you're going to now serve in Maui.
Yes. Well, my story starts probably 20 years ago, just in my coming to Christ. I was raised in a Catholic home and did 12 years of Catholic school. Didn't really appreciate Christ for who he was and walked away from it. And it wasn't until my mid-20s that I was seeking God, truly looking for who he was, most of it through the religion of me. But God was kind and brought a young lady into my life who is now my wife. That the only context that I was pretty much allowed to see her were Bible studies, Saturday night church, Friday night church, Sunday church, and other gatherings. And about 3 months into our relationship, it came clear to me that I was Catholic, so I knew about sin. I knew I had plenty of it in my life, but it became clear for the first time that there was somebody who paid that atoning price for me, and it rocked my world in the best way possible, and I've been walking with Christ since.
I did missionary date, but it's not recommended.
But it sounds like you had some good boundaries and at least were modeling Christ as effectively as you could with this heathen.
No, right.
In the short time I've known you, Steve, I can identify with your personality and your passion for life and your passion for serving God now. But like how God can use all of our background experiences
and
then fine-tune us and then equip us for future things. So Heather, it sounds like you might have grown up in a Christian home.
Yeah, I did grow up in a Christian home, and I didn't probably walk with the Lord as closely as He wanted me to when I was in high school. I made some decisions that were very much oriented towards myself. But when I went to college in San Diego, at University of California, San Diego, I became involved with InterVarsity Christian Fellowship, and that organization really just changed my life. It was a great opportunity for me to get plugged into the right friends and get good spiritual input and redirect and recommit my life to the Lord in college. So I was baptized when I was 22.
Then when did both of you decide to pursue becoming physicians? I mean, that's a discipline in and of itself, and a lot of hours and effort and study and preparation and all that that goes into. Obviously, you both made it and then had to practice and serve for 10 years, but you were doing well enough to be able to get into med school and all that.
Yeah, interestingly enough, we both were on the path to medical school when we met. And so we met at a store called REI, Recreation Equipment Incorporated, and Steve was an employee there, and I was a client. And I was shopping, and little did I know that all the single guys that worked at REI had a policy that they played rock, paper, scissors for the right to help all the single women that were shopping. So God really is sovereign to have dictated my life by scissors. And it was just really another blessing that we discovered that we were both on the path for medical school. And so we ended up going to medical school together. Steve was 1 year ahead of me.
Now, Steve, I'm going to put you on the spot here, but do a little shout out. What was one of the things that you noticed about Heather that drew you to her, or something in her gift sets or skills that you say to this day, thank you, God, for pairing her up with me?
Well, she was a hottie.
Okay.
And still is. God just crafted her for me. I was not the most discerning of young men, and God was very kind to bring somebody to me that was going to walk alongside me, mm-hmm. and gently introduce this Jesus to me, mm-hmm. that was then going to wreck my life to build it back up from scratch on some solid foundation, and she's been the iron that continues to sharpen me as we've now been married 19 years and have been around each other for 21.
Now, married that many years, and I see you have a 5-year-old and a recently adopted 3-year-old,
yes.
So what's some of the story behind that?
Well, Elena was adopted as well.
Okay.
Elena is the granddaughter of a family that supports us. We were not able to have children of our own, and they knew that we wanted them greatly. But we were at a point where we were willing to adopt, but we're already planning on going to the mission field, international mission field, and adoption is a lengthy process. Mm-hmm. Going to the field part was screaming right along. Support was coming in. We'd already turned in our papers for our hospitals and planning on leaving shortly, and said, you know, we really felt that we're going to have to choose one or the other. We're either going to have to put missions on hold and pursue a job adoption, or we're going to have to put adoption on hold and pursue missions. And I told God, and probably one of my angry times with Him, I said, well, if we're going to have children, you're going to have to drop one in our laps. And He did. We continued to move down the road towards leaving the U.S.
About 3 months after that, we got a phone call that one of our supporters, their daughter, was having a baby that would be given up for adoption, and did we want to be adoptive parents for that child. So that baby is Elena, our 4-year-old, and we left for the mission field with a 3-month-old baby.
So that but she was sleeping through the night, so it made things a lot easier.
Yeah, we're going to have to go back to that initial verse in Psalm and see how that's working for you now.
It works great now.
Well, how did God take you from, you know, coming to know Him in your 20s and surrendering then into med school and your practice to feel like, okay, Lord, we're going to surrender all. We're going to follow You, and not an easy mission field. This is a mainly Muslim country. Why that country and why this calling?
Well, we can take that back to one sermon that started all of this, and I'll let my wife run away with that.
So in 2006, we attended a medical missions conference in Louisville, Kentucky. I don't say Louisville right, but it's an enormous conference that medical people that are interested in international missions go to. And so we went with another dual physician couple that we knew. And the plenary session on Sunday morning, so the last session of the conference, was given by Dr. David Thompson, who is a surgeon in Africa. And he gave a talk that was titled Give It Away. And he posed the question, what are you not giving to God that he might want you to give? And he really spoke from experience because he grew up as a missionary kid in Vietnam, and his parents were both martyred in Vietnam on the night of the Tet Offensive. And so he said, sometimes God asks you to give your life. Sometimes he doesn't. Sometimes he asks you to give your time, your careers, your money. So what could that be for you? And just as God would have it, I wasn't able to attend that session because I had to work in the emergency room. And so Steve and the other couple were there, and they both came home from that conference and said, well, we're quitting our jobs and we're moving overseas. And
God's wrecked us.
Yeah, and I said,
I've said that before.
What we? Like, I'm not part of that we because I didn't quite get that message. So Steve gave me a copy of the sermon, and it is very convicting. And so I had that to chew on for a little while, and I had been reading through the Bible, and about 3 months after that, I came to the passage in 2 Samuel where David was counting the fighting men, and for him that was a sin because he wasn't relying on the Lord. And so the Israelites were dying, and David realized that he needs to make atonement and he needs to make a sacrifice. And so he asks Araunah, can I buy some cows and can I buy some wood and can I use your threshing floor to sacrifice to the Lord? And Araunah says, well, you're the king, you can have it. And David says, no, I won't offer to the Lord sacrifices that cost me nothing. Mm-hmm. And for me, that is what convicted me, because we were heavily monetarily supporting missions. We were involved in local missions. We were doing a good news club after school with Child Evangelism Fellowship that had 100 kids in it. We had an inner city ministry in a neighborhood of Akron, Ohio, but it wasn't really hurting. It wasn't really costing.
So then what's the next steps after that? I mean, obviously you're praying it up. You're now seemingly becoming one accord where you both are maybe capturing this vision. But I know it wasn't easy. I know some of the stories that seem to be roadblocks or frustrations or derailments, which will come whenever you advance God's kingdom. There's always obstacles to thwart that. But what were the next steps?
It was mostly God just clarifying for us how he wanted us to serve. And we didn't have our own missiology. We just knew that we were going to serve, but we had ideas of what we wanted that to look like. If we were going to model how Jesus served, he healed, but he healed physically and spiritually. And so we knew that that's what our medical ministry was going to look like. We served for a month in Honduras, and while we were doing medicine, every patient we saw, we were able to pray with them. We were able to speak to them, and pastors were there that were able to get into their lives. And we looked at this and said, we can do this. This is what I signed up for. This is where my heart is. And that was years before. So we're looking at this, okay, how are we going to serve? What organizations are we going to go with? And it became very clear that many organizations don't keep Christ in the most preeminent position, that healthcare tends to dictate everything and the gospel follows second or third. And so we wanted an organization where spiritual health was more important than physical health, and that really did those two together well.
Was that with the Christian Missionary Alliance?
Well, we spent 2 years kind of globetrotting, looking at multiple organizations and where God would have us. And the organizations we looked at, we didn't have any problems theologically or missiologically with them. It's just God didn't want us there. He closed the doors and ultimately led us through some other longer circumstances, maybe for another radio show, to the Kuchala Hospital for Women and Children.
And that's where you're currently serving, and that's in Mali.
Correct.
And it's called the Hospital for Women and Children.
Right.
So if somebody was going to want to support you or want to know more, is there a website or is it best to call you, or how can they figure out where God might lead them to help?
Yeah, it's the KuchalaHospital.org.
Okay, a little spelling for our listeners, but
right.
Mainly for me.
It's K-O-U.
K-O-U.
T-I-A-L-A.
T-I-A-L-A.
Hospital.
Hospital.
Okay. .org.
Hospital.org. And tell us a little about the hospital and how you see God using both your skills and energy and effort to not only bring physical healing and maybe an emotional healing, but spiritual healing.
Yeah, absolutely. The National Church in Mali is thriving, really solid. They've had missionaries that have been giving their lives there for decades. And the National Church, probably 12 or 14 years ago, approached the Christian Missionary Alliance USA as their partner in missions, because their wives and children were dying. These are pastors in the CMA church in Mali whose wives were perishing, and said, can you help us? There are no cesareans available for us in most of the country. We don't have adequate health care. So the idea of this hospital for women and children was birthed, no pun intended, and we're now, yeah.
Sorry, a little late
where's
there.
Where's the drum set? We're now celebrating our 10th anniversary in February.
Earlier you shared some statistics about the death rate or the expectancy of life there.
So in Mali, your chances of dying in childbirth are 1 in 19.
1 in 19.
And 20% of children die before the age of 5.
Mali's one of the worst 5 places to live in the Northern Hemisphere for a woman and child. That's multifactorial, but a lot of that comes down to the fact that you can't get a safe cesarean in the country if you can't afford it. And you could not get a safe cesarean anywhere outside of the capital, period. So this hospital is changing the physical dynamics of our village, changing the medical metrics of our village. But most importantly, we're able to meet people spiritually through compassionate medical care.
I know your journey there hasn't been easy just because of all that's gone on in Mali.
Yeah.
Give us some of those highlights.
We packed and unpacked 28 times in 8 months.
Wait. Did I hear 20? How many times?
28.
In 8 months, yeah. Not in 8 years.
No, so what happened, as God would have it, we went to France to study French and did that for a year, and then we had tickets to go to Mali for April 4th of 2012, and on March 22nd, there was a military coup in Mali, and the government was completely destabilized. It was unsafe, and the team that was there already was evacuated, so we were told, oh, you can't go to Mali right now, but we had already moved out of our apartment in France. And so we moved around France for 3 months, staying a week here, a week there, with different friends that we had, and then our visas expired. And so one option was to go back to the States, and another option was to go to a hospital in Gabon. And so we chose to be diverted to Gabon. We were able to serve at the Bongolo Hospital in Gabon, Central Africa, for 5 months. And then we packed up again and went to Mali in 2012. We got the all clear to go to Mali in 2012, and then state of affairs in the north of Mali is tenuous at best, and there are quite a few Islamic jihadists that live and train in the north of Mali. And so they had declared the north of Mali as an Islamic state and call it Azawad, and made a flag and staked a claim to the north of Mali. So France at that time deemed it appropriate to invade the north of Mali, and so there was a war in the north of Mali with a French invasion in January of 2013. So because of that situation and the risk for a hostage situation with kidnapping, we were evacuated a month after we got to Mali to neighboring Burkina Faso. So we have visited more countries in Africa than we had planned on, and our friends in France said, when you're a missionary, you have to make sure that your philosophy is Semper Gumby. I don't know if you remember the Gumbies of old, but they're those little green mans that
be
are
flexible.
Bend them.
Yeah.
Bend them this way. And so there, you know, that has become our missionary motto, is Semper Gumby, always flexible.
Now, for our listeners, there's a stirring in their hearts, like, wow, this sounds like a capable couple, sold out for the Lord, wanting to do what's best, saving lives spiritually and physically. How could they get in touch with you, or maybe to learn more, or they want to be on your support team, or receive a prayer letter? Do you send out a newsletter, an update?
We just sent one out last night, and I'd be more than happy, tickled actually, to forward that to anybody that wants it, but they can call me. I have a cell phone, and you don't even have to call Africa. It's a local number.
And this is a phone number when you're in the United States.
For a couple more months anyway,
yeah. Okay, while you're in the United States. And then if in a few months maybe somebody listens to this broadcast in the future and nobody answers, they can always call the station, and then we can track you down.
Exactly.
What's the phone number they would call?
It is 562-280-5082. And that is 562-280-5082.
And your ministry work in Mali is the Hospital for Women and Children. And so you do everything, what, from surgery and just general?
Well, no, the Lord spared me. And, spared the population. I'm an emergency physician, so I do emergency medicine and critical care at the hospital. Okay. We have a PACS-trained surgeon, which is the Pan-African Academy of Christian Surgeons, which is an awesome organization that has residencies to train African physicians to be surgeons and then to go back and staff Christian hospitals. So we have one of their graduates that is directing our hospital. He's also our chief surgeon. So he does the surgical end of it. I take care of the critical care and the adults. And Heather will be doing pediatrics and critical care and pediatrics at the hospital as well.
We do a tiny bit of anesthesia as well, which may grow a little bit with more surgery cases. And so one problem that we find throughout many hospitals in Africa is there's very good surgeons, but not enough trained anesthetists in anesthesia. So that's another great need for the hospitals.
And I'll close in just a moment with asking how our Great News Radio listeners can pray for you, because I know there's a need for teachers or for a very specific
right.
kind of diehard teacher that has a real calling on their lives. But if you want to get in touch with Steve and Heather Holzenbach, and they're our guests on today, the Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends. And this program is archived at greatnewsradio.org in case you want to copy and paste the link into an email and send it on to a friend or somebody that's been looking for a great ministry to support. You can go to our website, greatnewsradio.org, and just look for Steve and Heather's name, and you can paste that link into an email. But you can call Steve directly at 562-280-5082. That's 562-280-5082, or stop by KuchalaHospital.org, and let me spell that for you, KouTiala Hospital.org. That's KouTiala Hospital.org. So stop by there and find out more, and really pray through how God may be calling you to support Steve and Heather as they serve all out. They serve with their hearts and their minds, and they've given up their medical practices to spend this time in Mali. How can our listeners pray for you in our closing minutes here?
Well, we have a sign at the hospital in the local language of Bambara that says, Yesu ye an Kenyaba ye, and that means that Jesus is our great healer. So if you could pray that we would be able to get that message across to the patients at the hospital, and that we would have the best opportunities possible to administer spiritual care, and that Jesus would show himself as the great healer at our hospital, and that's what it would be known for. We also have a great need for a missionary teacher in a one-room schoolhouse type of situation. And so we have two children, and there is another family that's ministering in Kuchala as well that has three children. And so the hope would be that we could find a teacher that has a heart for missions and likes to be warm that would be willing to move to Mali to teach our children.
And not the easiest environment. I think you were talking about that, Steve. Somebody that would just be sold out to the Lord and passionate to see this as a real ministry work where they could teach under some kind of hard circumstances. Yeah. But, when God calls, he right. equips.
Mm-hmm. And that is so true. That's, there's no doubt that we would be back in the States in our practices if we didn't know that God had clearly called us there and has told us to stay and told us to stick it out. So without God's call and equipping, you're not going to last.
Now, if somebody has further questions or wants to know more or says, hey, I want to receive that newsletter or I want to figure out how to support you monthly or what are your financial needs, they can call you on the cell phone number,
absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
That's 562-280-5082. That's 562-280-5082. And yes, we're going to have you back. There's so much more to the story and the unique ways you've been called of God, but we'll just be praying you up in the days ahead. And come on, Great News Radio listeners, this is a fine couple that are serving the Lord, and they need your support and certainly your prayers. So we'll keep you in mind in the days ahead. And thank you, Steve and Heather, and
you
too,
Martin.
Karen, for coming back and sharing. We have you kind of on the side of the room, but you're being a cheerleader for everyone here, so appreciate that. This program is archived at greatnewsradio.org, so if you missed a portion of it or you'd like to paste it into an email and send it on to a friend, just stop by greatnewsradio.org and go to our archive programs link. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you and have a great day and night.
We are walking in the light so good. We are walking in the light so good. Love.